It is in their shoes. With me, I've got Andy McCann, I've got Paddy Fitzsimons, and I've got Phil Blundell, who have got some teams lined up that they're ready to do. Just run you through them in a second or two. We are in a situation, Phil, where you got in first on this one. This is the way this works. The group was Tottenham, Wolves, Newcastle and Southampton. Phil's took Tottenham. Paddy got in first for Newcastle. Andy then got frustrated. He ended up with Southampton. And I've been left with Wolverhampton Wanderers, who are mad, but will do me last. Phil, tell me what you want about what would you do with Tottenham, starting off with the idea that whether or not you're keeping the manager, I suspect you are.
I mean, you're absolutely keeping the manager, aren't you, if you're Tottenham? There's a... They're probably lucky to get him in the first place. I think I heard a thing that apparently genuinely only took the job to stick two fingers up to Manchester United because they didn't want him. That's what I got told by someone reasonably well connected as a Tottenham journalist, which is very funny.
Sounds like something you'd do.
Yeah, it very much does. But there's a bit of a Antonio Conte sort of way of being and what Tottenham need. Probably weirdly don't quite match up because it sort of feels that now they've got that top four place, what that next season should be about is consolidating that, making sure it happens again, looking at getting past Chelsea, putting a bit more distance between Arsenal and Manchester United. But at the same time, that's just not what Antonio Conte is about, really, is it? He lives for the short term and he wants to basically come in and go, right, I'm going to win something in the next 2 years, I want the league title, whatever. That's what he's done. That's what he's done at Chelsea. It's what he did at Juventus. It's what he's done at Inter Milan as well. That's just how he is. So it's a bit difficult to marry up what Tottenham want to do with what Conte does. But I think they did quite a lot of stuff in the winter when they got rid of a number of players, mainly out on loan. They got rid of Brian Gill, who I thought looked quite promising initially, but Conte just clearly didn't fancy him. Lo Celso went to Villarreal, which we got a close-up of. There was Tanguy and Dembele went to Lyon. And they really sort of focused on cleaning up and getting rid of players in one, which sort of meant that the squad wasn't massive. But it did its job, and it's reasonably okay. The squad, it doesn't need an overhaul. I don't think it just needs a few things added to it. I think the aim for the season for Tottenham should probably be get to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. If you get to the quarterfinals, anything can happen. Ultimately, can't it? It's just a bit mad. We've seen it over the recent years in European football. Get to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, see what happens, and then have a really good go at the cups. Because if you think about how old Harry Kane is, he's won nothing. You think about Son, he's been there. What, 7-8 years now? Won nothing. They've come very close to a league title on one occasion. They didn't get it. So it's just sort of putting themselves in a position. Even if it's the League Cup, Tottenham haven't won anything for what will be 15 years, won't it, next spring. I think they beat Chelsea in 2008 in the League Cup final. So that's the kind of thing they want to do. They've also got this sort of reputation of, you know, the Spursy thing and being a bit not great mentally and being able to fall apart. You know, you only have to look back at the fact that they needed a draw at Norwich, for example, the other week to come fourth, and there were some Tottenham fans who genuinely convinced themselves that they were not going to come fourth, despite the fact they needed to basically draw with one of the worst Premier League teams that has ever existed. The first thing I would do with that is get Antonio Conte to have a word with the player he used to have. The player, I wouldn't say, will come in and play a huge amount. He's able to do bits, but he's 37. It's Giorgio Chiellini. I think someone like that, of that mentality, would go, what are you all doing? This is what I do. He's been there, he's done it, he's won a World Cup. I think he's won. Did he win the World Cup in 2006? I think he was in the mix, wasn't he? I think he was in the squad. They won the Euro as well. He's won multiple league titles. He's been there, he's done it, he's got the T-shirt, and he can sort of instill a mentality in this Tottenham team. Someone like that. There's not many people I would move out, I don't think. It doesn't look like he fancies Joe Rodon, so I think he'll probably go to a lower level Premier League team for a few quid. Davinson Sanchez looks like he's probably at the end of his days at Tottenham, and then there's Bergwijn, who I think Ajax have made a bid for, so I think he'll probably go. I don't think they need that much doing. I think you've sort of got to marry up the future with the win now element, and in terms of the future, I think they should be having a serious look at Michael Olise from Crystal Palace. I think he's exactly the type of player that would suit them. I think he's good, he's young, he's British, he just looks made for Tottenham. I think he looks made for Tottenham. Then the one other thing I do, it's a bit romantic. I think they should be having a serious look at bringing Christian Eriksen back. I think he's been superb for Brentford since he went back. He's proved he can still hack it at this level, that is, you know, health problems are something that can be worked around. And I think it would be quite romantic, but also he's worked with him before. They were together at Inter, so they know each other. He knows Tottenham. It just feels like a perfect fit for me. Other centre-back-wise, I think you probably need one more if they're going to lose Rodon and Sanchez. Go to Brighton and have a look at Joel Veltman. And he can play a bit at wing-back as well, which is, I think, one other thing he could play. I think he can play wing-back. He could play either of the two centre-back roles in terms of the middle one or the right-hand one. And then the wild card would be James Ward-Prowse. I'm not a massive fan of him, but I think in this team, there's a role for him. If you look at Højbjerg, has been doing quite a lot of stuff that he's not quite fit for, and I think Ward-Prowse is a better fit at it. So if you can put Ward-Prowse in there next to Bentancur, even Perisic has obviously already come in, so that's the left-hand side. That's the left-hand side, so they don't need that much doing, and I think a full season of Conte, a full pre-season of Conte, there's a real opportunity for them to edge more towards Manchester City and Liverpool than there is to edge towards Chelsea, towards Arsenal, Manchester United. So they're not in a poor position. They don't need too much doing. I think it looks quite promising at Tottenham.
Okay. Andy, any questions for Phil?
Just one point, Ward-Prowse isn't for sale. Just for effing. As the Southampton technical director. And how would you handle Conte? Because I think what you said right about him, he always seems he's only three games away from scrapping with the board or giving him a finger to say, how would you handle that? What do you do with that?
You give him pretty much what he wants, unless something that he wants is ridiculous. I don't think Tottenham as a club are in the position where they can go, actually, no, because if he leaves, who are they getting in? It's nowhere near as good as him.
It's not last chance saloon for Levy, obviously, because he owns the club, but it sort of feels like if this doesn't work, I'll ever get any kind of success. I think it's interesting with them, because I mean, it's very unlikely they're going to win the Champions League. Yeah. Very unlikely they're going to win the league. Does he go all out for an FA Cup? Because I think, not saying they wouldn't settle for...
The League Cup's probably the one they'd be better going all out for, because you can basically get to the...
But you can call your season a success in February.
Yeah, 100%. There's also an element of the draw as well.
Yeah.
I think one thing we've seen this year is it's not always about having a go at the cup, it's about the draws you get, really, isn't
and
it?
And just like, happening to be in the next round.
We get Shrewsbury, we get Cardiff, we get Norwich, all of a sudden we're in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And then we're playing, all right, Nottingham Forest got promoted, but then we've got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup, and the best team we played were probably Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that they need. They just need a bit of luck, and I think they can do quite well next season.
I just wonder for him if he needs to win something. I think he could have a great season, finish third, and their fans would be like, right, that's great, you know, progression. But yeah, I wonder if he'd look at that and go, no, I win things. And so I think it's important that they do try.
There's quite there's a whole thing. Would you rather come top fourth or win the FA Cup? I think Conte is probably win the FA Cup, man. I think ultimately if you get to the end of the season, Tottenham come fifth, and they've won the FA Cup, I don't think there'll be too many complaints around Tottenham. I just think they'll be happy to win something.
Yeah. I think the way he is, even though it's a bit of a long shot, but I think he'll be thinking he could win the Champions League.
Yeah.
Because now he's in it. Yeah. I think the group stages, you would expect him to get through.
Ultimately, he's played Manchester City, beaten them, Liverpool, drawn twice.
That's what I'm saying. That was my point was going to be. He's played the two best teams in Europe three times since he come in, and he's unbeaten against them.
That's without a pre-season. And because I think he's notorious for his intense pre-seasons where he basically makes them run until they quite literally can't run anymore. Like, when you say, like, until they can't do X anymore, well, no, this is literally they can't do X anymore.
But is there not a concern there? So a lot of what we've done this season, Tottenham, smart, has gone really well towards the end of the season. He had them playing a game a week. On the whole, is there not a worry now that the way this season's going to go, where there's those banks of Champions League games are really compressed in with the Premier League games, there's not like the break of an EFL Cup or something? Because that's my only thing. When you've gone through that squad there, I do sort of take your point, and you've added some bodies, but my worry would be it doesn't take much all of a sudden. Kane likes an injury a season. Son's probably due one or two. Is that not the sort of mild concern there, that it wouldn't take much, for instance, to have a really rocky 6 weeks or something?
I agree with that, but I think it's sort of things that you can't really do a great deal.
You can't do too much about right now.
If someone gets injured, it just happens, doesn't it? That's just part of what happens. I think a big part of them needing the week between games, the back end of this season just gone, is that he didn't have
the pre-season
period to impart his ideas onto them and go, I want you to do this. This is what you do here. This is what you do here. And you could sort of see as time went by, they seemed to get his ideas and know exactly what he wanted. So I think with the pre-season, I think it mitigate. I think it'll cancel that out and it'll be fine.
Okay. Next up then, Southampton. Andy.
Yeah. Just had a good look over them and, you know, kind of tried to see what was different about now since 2012 when he come back in. Pulled out a few key things, four things. I'll go through each one. So they've got no nearly mega players. I don't think they've probably got one, which Phil referenced for Tottenham, which I'll come back to, in James Ward-Prowse. I think they need to start looking to obviously do the step before they become a nearly mega player and start looking for younger players. The manager's gone. He's not good enough. I explain reasons. They're absolutely shite in both boxes. They've got the third lowest goals for in the Premier League last year and the third highest goals against. So there's a massive problem there. And then the fourth and final major problem, which I'll touch on at the end, is Matt Letizia just being a bell end. So we'll come back to that.
Is he banned from the executive lounges?
Oh, well, no. Excellent. So one of the KPIs is a stadium ban for Matt Letizia. That's a non-negotiable for the new manager, so I'll come back to that. But
rock solid.
So on the nearly mega players, I think they've lost their identity. I went back through some of the signings, and outside the top six, so Liverpool, City, Tottenham, Chelsea, and then you've got United, Arsenal, I think there's a pool there where clubs can make their own kind of look, and you know, a Leicester or a, you can kind of get within that. If you want to get, you know, anywhere between 7th and 15th, you've kind of got to carve your own kind of space out. And Southampton finished 11th a few years ago, and it was from sales of players. Like, obviously they had the big summer with Van Dijk, Mane, Wanyama, Schneiderlin, Klein, Shaw, Lallana, Lovren, and then more recently Tadic, Target, Højbjerg, all over 15 million. Other than Ward-Prowse, I don't see really anyone in the squad that is that, where someone like us or City may be looking at them next summer going, you know, if he has a really good year, I think Ward-Prowse is the one. The centre-half, Salisu, could be. He seems a bit erratic from what I've seen him, but potentially, definitely looking. They've got some other good young players, but my big thing for them would be to start looking at players that can kind of become that next level. The manager for me is gone. So since he came in, they've kind of had one good season for them, but then 15th, becoming regular. As I said before, 9 wins last season, which is the lowest outside of the bottom three. 13 draws, which is second highest in the league. Maybe just indicates they're not a million miles away from winning more matches. Don't know what happened last couple of days before I got the job, but they've sacked 4 staff, haven't they? I don't know if you've seen that. 4 of the main coaching staff have just been released. So they've Kelvin Davis, Dave Watson, Craig Fleming, and another one who they didn't name have gone.
Be funny if it was Hasenhüttl, he just didn't name him.
Yeah, we just haven't told him, yeah. And the other thing which I think possibly could have been addressed earlier is they've had 2 9-0 defeats under them. And I think that for me, just, you know, Leicester and Man United, that for me shows a real problem in whatever he's doing. I don't think any team in the Premier League should be losing 9-0, never mind it happening twice. As I say, I think the shit in both boxes, goals for is the third lowest, and goals against, I know that's, you know, an easy way to do it. And I know Sean speaks about it a lot and things. It's the hardest thing in football to get right, but, you know, if it's not working. New manager-wise, I've created a shortlist of 3. Matthias Gisaele at Salzburg, if they want to go a new German young kind of wonder manager, if they want to go down the route of a bit of a project like a Nagelsmann, I think he's only 35. The Carlos Corberenen, who's just nearly got promoted with Huddersfield, I think could be a good shout. One of Beza's kind of models, he's very much in that. My only fear with that would be, I don't know if a bit like Beza, he's a bit of a, you get 3 years out of him and then he moves on because he burns everyone and head out and tires everyone. The one I've gone for is Nathan Jones, the Luton manager, just got EFL Championship Manager of the Season, and he's going to come in with Lallana as a player assistant. So obviously Adam's only over the road there at Brighton, so I'm going to bring him back in. Current squad, Going to keep not massive confidence in all of them, but I think they're the best. Che Adams, Small, Armstrong, Salisu, Diallo, Walker-Peters, James Ward-Prowse, Armstrong, Bedenac and Livramento. Keep them. McCarthy, Stevens, Long, Caballero, Brozier is obviously going back to Chelsea, Lewis and Fraser Forster signed for Tottenham. So they're going. Three key types of player I want to bring in are some pacey forwards. I think we've got none of them. So I've looked at Emmanuel Dennis, Ishmael Saar. We did have shortlisted Dan at Solanke as possible, bringing in to see if he can do it. But I think with them now, but having getting promotion, that'll be difficult. So I'd imagine he probably won't be able to. We'll be bringing, hopefully, Taki Minamino back from Liverpool to play in one of the three areas. And then a couple of just random ones from the Championship, which could be them type of players you bring in and then have two or three good seasons and go up. Is Pirro from Swansea and Ben Diaz from Blackburn, the mad lad who's actually Chilean.
Chilean fella from Stoke.
Yeah, yeah. Plays every week, plays for Chile. And then just a couple of key players. I think Nick Pope is going to be leaving Burnley, I'd imagine. So I think they've got a massive problem in goal. If not, I was looking at Kelleher. See what Liverpool think of Kelleher. Maybe coming, whether it be on loan. Then in defence, Tarkowski, a bit of a short-term kind of win now, improve you, but maybe look to get Joe Gomez in as well on a bit of a deal, whether it be with a buyback. Again, he could be one of them that you bring in, and then he does go back to the level he was at. And then one that I've just kind of completely robbed off Phil, that I'm not going to lie about, was Christian Eriksen. I think he could come in and, you know, I think he's obviously going to be up for grabs. I think Southampton could give him the option of kind of restarting his career. And then just from a kind of KPI point of view, that I know that was in the draft, so finished top 12, no drop off. They always tend, I think they lost four out of the last five games.
Yeah,
they've done it a couple of seasons on the bounce now. There's obviously a problem there. Get that identity back of, you know, of having young players who are really pushing for that next big move, because what ultimately it might not be a great ideal to have as a club where you become a selling club, but if you're selling players for top money, they're obviously doing something right while they're playing for you, so it's not a bad philosophy to have if you are selling them. And then, as I say, the third and final KPI, which is the most important one, is a stadium lifetime ban for Matt Letizia. That will be part of the manager's scope.
Thorough stuff. Just on this, the only thing I'd worry about with this, with you, because I think, you know, top 12, it sounds great in theory, and I don't think it's, I think you're sort of your point on, I don't think it necessarily takes that much necessarily, but isn't there a little thing here where at the minute, for instance, Newcastle are going to come strong, Palace feel like they're coming strong, Villa finish outside the top 12, they're investing, they're coming strong, like is there not a season here of consolidation that's more a 14th and we're never in trouble than you know, almost going for 12th, just sort of know what I mean, like aim for 12th, but what I'm saying is that a 14th, but you're never even in the shake-up, which I think, to be fair to Hasenhüttl this season, they were never in the shake-up. That's the one thing I'd say. I take your point on sacking them, and I understand why in the 9-0s and all that, but the one thing I would say is this season, and I don't think ever really you've ever had a genuine sort of March moment of Southampton could go here,
yeah.
And that's the one thing I would say, yeah, to his credit, is that there's never been one of them.
Yeah, I think, but what we're looking to do is build on that, though, I almost, and say that's kind of what we expect now, so we're looking to move on. And I think it's a little bit like, you know, if you aim for 8th,
yeah,
and you don't get there, you end up finishing 13th, 14th anyway, rather than just aiming to kind of go one more. Yeah, I take your point. I think what he does really well with the team is he does set them up like a Klopp team or like a Tuchel team, but he just hasn't got the quality. But I think the biggest thing I've kind of looking at them the last couple of years is they've got no pace kind of in the wide area, so that would be my big one to bring in, and hopefully that would then make them go from 15th to 12th, 13th just naturally in them, but no, he's the 2 9-0s have burnt our heads out, so he's definitely gone.
Okay, Paddy, any questions here?
Yeah, just on the players bringing in, would there be an attempt to try and keep someone like a Brogier on another year?
Definitely, yeah. I
think the problem they've had in recent years is whenever I watch them, I think you're right about the point about, you know, there's a lot of games where they draw, they're not far away from them being wins. I think it's sort of Neil's point about the manager. I think I think where they have really struggled last few years is recruitment. And I understand you can't always get the Pellas and the Marnies in and things like that. And they had a good couple of seasons, didn't they? Whoever they sold, they replaced even better.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if they're just the top of the fine line of... I think you can look at the board and say, listen, they've not quite backed them enough. Definitely. And if there's an argument, so even if you do get rid of them, that whoever comes in then has to, they have to therefore back them, because I don't think that I take Neil's point about them not being far away last year, but I don't think they're far away as well as being one of them teams next year. We're right on there.
Yeah,
no, or getting sucked in.
Yeah, no, I think definitely he's done well. I think watching him from afar again last season, it seemed like he was great up until the whole team just
say they weren't. Yeah,
yeah. I can't remember the game I watched where it was. Did we play them late in the season? Away,
yeah,
no.
We did, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he was crap.
Two from the ends, the crowd were booing.
Yeah, he come off, yeah, he was booing him and stuff. And I don't know if his drop off was just with Natalie with the team, but no, yeah, I would definitely look to keep him because I like him personally. Yeah.
Do you think, like, the thing is more like this is a change in the manager, is more one of those things where you can't get rid of all the players, so you get rid of the manager? I just look at the players and I just don't think there's. I think Hasenhüttl is probably able, with the right players, to get them to the level Southampton want to be. But I don't think that anybody is going to be able to do it with the level of players there at the minute. Because I just look at them, I think I've thought they're a bit of a mess for quite a while, to be honest. I think they had Ings, but they didn't seem to be able to service him properly, and then they lost him, and then there was no one to service, really. Like, if you're going from Danny Ings, who he's not amazing, but he's a steady Premier League centre-forward, to then what effectively was a mix of Shane Long and a 20-year-old... Was Shane Long still there doing me?
Yeah.
I think it did. I mean, someone
Armstrong from Blackburn.
Yeah, there was Armstrong. I thought that was a bad signing. I thought you could see that one coming a mile off, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then... I'm just not sure what a manager come in and be supposed to do, because I just think it's a bit of a mess, and I think it's sort of, you can sort of see, I remember when Aston Villa got relegated, that they sort of, it was a slide that took about 5 years before there was one season where it was just ridiculous,
and you look back and say, yeah, it was coming,
and it sort of feels that's about where we are with Southampton now
my frustration, if I was a supporter, would be, I think it's interesting you mentioned the Armstrong signing there, and they did the year before with Adams, didn't he? And I think he's done well. But if I supported them, I'd be asking the board, why have we gone from signing a Sadio Mane from a Salzburg and then players across Europe who are just on the cusp of to signing top end championship who look good, and then wondering why he scored two or three all season? Like, it took Adams, like that. I think Adams first season he scored two or three. It was only last season, really.
That Armstrong signing genuinely just looks like someone who Googled championship top scorers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I seen a bit of him, because obviously most of those goals were when we could barely leave the house or anything.
Yeah.
So I watched a reasonable amount of championship football last season, and he scored a few goals, but he wasn't. He was quite obviously not out of his depth, for example. He wasn't out of his depth, you know what I mean?
He wasn't playing above that level.
He wasn't playing at a level.
He looked like a good championship forward, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it, with that? Because it's like, for every Ollie Watkins, there's five that don't work. And I suppose it's risking going out to, you know, your European leagues to take a gamble on a Mane, finding the next Mane or Salah at Ball, or just going, you know what, that lad scored 25 goals in the Championship,
it's worth a go. Yeah.
Worth a go. But I don't think they're powerful enough to... So the two obvious ones were Mitrovic and Solanke were the top scorers, but they're both coming up. And I'm thinking, I don't think Southampton are big enough.
It's not for Paul, is it?
I think in general, just as a wider football point, I think it's quite interesting that a lot of the better players in the Championship are all coming up. Either they've been on loan from other clubs or they're all just coming up. And it's really normally, like, for instance, you remember Elise and Eze, they weren't coming up, but everyone knew they were absolutely fucking brilliant. Yeah. And I think just really playing this game in the way of sort of thinking about this, because I've done a couple of these now, I'm sort of looking into the Championship and I'm going, Carvalho is a really good example of one where both coming up, but also Liverpool have smacked them. I'm sort of, you go through the list of who's the best players in the Championship, and basically 13 of them, the top 13, there might be one who you could maybe make a case for. The rest are either on loan from a top Premier League side or are coming up, and so you're left going, well, who could actually snare them?
Yeah. Only other thing is, the Nathan Jones, does not slightly worry that he went to Stoke and it didn't really work.
Yeah, because
I think that might have just been a Stoke thing. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll no, definitely he's come back, and they were a bit unsure about him going back, but he's done brilliant with him. But no, We'll see.
Okay. I'm last on this one. I'm Wolves. To be honest, it's a fucking mess. Oh, sorry, Paddy, I forgot. Come on, lads.
I was so psyched up. I was like,
I'm so psyched up for Wolves. Sorry, Paddy, go ahead, mate.
Do you want to go on Newcastle?
No,
I'm Newcastle. Which is probably the most fun of them all.
I've got the screen in the way, you see, I can't see him. It's like blind date. Go ahead.
But yeah, so I've had a big think about it with Newcastle. I think it's interesting what they do this summer. I think it's obvious, isn't it, to sort of play football manager and fantasy footy and think they've got an open checkbook and they can buy anyone, but I don't think it ever quite works out like that. So I think a big thing they need to do is harness the sort of togetherness and spirit that they've got at the moment. It feels like on Twitter and Instagram, after every big win towards the back end of last season, they were getting a big squad photo with all the staff in and everyone involved, and it feels like there's a real, I think, to give Howe credit, I didn't think he'd do well at all when he came in, and I thought it was the wrong appointment for what they needed, but I couldn't be more wrong, because he's managed to get a group of lads who've been signed by different managers and were unhappy under certain managers, and he's brought them all together. And if you look at the supporters, I know it's easy to be upbeat and positive when you're winning games again, you know, you've got loads of money, but do you seem really behind them now? So I'm conscious not to do too much at Newcastle, and I'm going to try and base what I think they need to do this summer on what City do about 2010-2011 time, where they buy sort of sensible players from the league, a lot of British lads who can come in and do a real job before the next step. Because I think there's a worry with all clubs. Obviously it's a different show for this one, but I think when you look at someone like a Villa this summer, I worry Villa could do an Everton, where it's the first summer where they get a lot of money. This is Everton, obviously, a few seasons ago, and they spend above what they're really going, above the targets, I think. So I think with Newcastle, I think they need four or five players who can come into the starting 11 who are very good. I'm targeting Joe Gomez, which pains me to say, but I think with the money that they've got and the pull of, listen, come here, be our starting centre-half, give him the armband, anything like that, to try and get him in. There's also Tomori, who I think's done really well at AC Milan, but I think that might be a harder sell, getting him away from there when he's winning league titles. I've seen they've been linked with Sven Botman as well, who I do think he's been linked with a lot of clubs recently in the last couple of summers, so I think he could be one who they go for as well, and I'd advise that. And then also, and I don't think you do have to do too much in that sense. I think if you bring in someone who you think's really good, the likes of a Dan Bain, Lascelles, I think that they sort of Shaw, who I think who's been back in the fold recently under Howe, I think they can sort of, you know, bring their level up to whoever they're playing with. I'm also targeting midfield wise a Conor Gallagher. I think, especially with the World Cup being in December, I do think you could sit him down and have a serious conversation about, listen, are you going to bank you're going to get enough games at Chelsea to be in that squad and getting games where you can come here, lad, everyone will love you, the energy that he brings, you're going to start for us, this is the start of a project. I think you could really push that on him. Another midfielder as well I'd looked at, it might be a problem in terms of wages and you don't want to upset too many people, and it's obviously why he left Liverpool, but Gini Wijnaldum to come back, I think that a sensible head who's played at the top level, bringing him into midfield, I don't think it'd be a bad shout at all. And also Tielemans, who's, I think, very good at Leicester and looking for a move. I think that would be a real statement of intent. And just in terms of clubs, because obviously I think Newcastle, to begin with, have got a look to get where Leicester have been in terms of competing up top six and winning trophies. I think if you took essentially their best midfielder who wants to go anyway and has been linked with Man United, etc., I think that'd be a real statement. They love a number nine. They love a number nine. My big number nine move, and I thought about this morning, is they seem to have a little Brazilian thing going on at the moment with the Bruno Guimarães and Joe Linton in midfield. He was linked with Arsenal. I think if you could have a conversation with Gabi Jesus at Manchester City and just say to him, listen, all their talk all season when they've won a league is that they haven't got a number nine and you've been stood there scoring goals for them. You're underappreciated. We can give you what you want in terms of money. You can match that what you're getting at City. You're still young enough to come in and be a real Premier League centre forward. And listen, we love look what we're like with number nines. We get right behind you, and you'll be our main man. So I think you can give that the hard sell to on that. In terms of outs, like I said, I don't think you want to do too many. I've seen they give Longstaff a new deal, and I think that's maybe a sign of. I think it's a sign of maybe rewarding these players. You know, I think it's dangerous to just bomb a load out now. In terms of you did this for me last season, especially for Howe, in terms of getting people on side, because these players that he's bringing in, you know, they're not necessarily with them. This group have been through a lot since. When does he come in? October, November time. They managed to stay up. Everyone's behind them. And I think with the supporters, you know, we know ourselves from Liverpool. I think there does seem to be a bit of a connection between the players and supporters there. And I don't think it's nice necessarily when you just see a load flogged for a load of lads coming in. And I think that's dangerous as well if results don't go too well to begin with. When fans are like, well, them lads were all right. They were doing it for us last season. Why have they gone? So I don't want to do too many outs. Calvin Phillips is another one who I've looked at for in terms of me. Jubilee weekend British incomings for Newcastle, because yeah, I think he's very good. I think in the Euros, I think he showed that. I think he has a lot to do for Leeds, and he's been linked away. The main link I've seen to him is Man United and City. I think I don't think I'd particularly want to be going to Man United with the Leeds connection. And if you could sort of tempt him away from City and say, listen, if you're here again, like the sell to all the lads that you're bringing in, it's a start of something special. You're in the Premier League now. What is he, 27, 28? Have your best years here. And then my big manager thing is, so obviously I'm basing it off City in the early years. They have money. At the earliest opportunity, they go and get Mancini. So Mancini wins the league and Inter, I think the season before, and as soon as he becomes available, I mean, it's not going great under Hughes, I don't think, but it's not going terrible, and they go and get him. And what I would be looking to do is, unless it's going amazing with how, I think as soon as you can, and it looks like it's going to end soon, I think you get Pochettino in. I think if Pochettino become available at any point, I think you try and get him in. My main thinking behind this is, if the goal this time next year on this show, and this is one of my KPIs is that this time next year on this show, you're looking at top six for them, breaking into the top six. I don't know if there's many managers out there elite level, world class level. I think you've seen that with Man United having to go and get Ten Hag, which I think is a bit of a gamble. I think if you look around world football, there's not too many sure things or managers where you say he could be the one to take us. That's why I think it's so important on Phil's run with Conte being at Tottenham. I think the few and far between, and I think it hasn't quite gone to plan at PSG, and I think there's loads of reasons for that, mainly them being a bit weird. But I think I think the Pochettino thing might have gone back to Spurs, might have gone now with Conte. So I think if he become available at any point, I think getting him in and saying, listen, all them things that you wanted at Tottenham, all them things that you think held you back, you can have that here because we've got the money to do it. Go and win a European Cup here, go and push us up the league. We'll be looking to do so. Yeah, my KPIs for this season will be definitely top 10. And sort of related to that, top 10 finishes aren't exactly fun, I don't think, for supporters. So I think they want to be in the later stages of an FA Cup and a big day out at Wembley, even if that's only a semi-final, because I think it's something to keep the fans interested, something to sell them, look, this is the next step, this is part of the journey. And like I said before, this time next year, they want to be sitting down going, oh, that was good, wasn't it? We got to the later stages of a cup, top 10 finish. Now, with all this money again, how do we get into the top six next year?
Just on my first two questions, one is, if Howe's brought the feel good,
yep,
and you just plump for Pochettino, there's a possibility you put noses out to join, because they'll remember he came to us at this point, he did this. And the other one is, have you got a Jesus alternative? Because I feel like if you're Jesus, you feel like Arsenal's a step down at this point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've gone from winning the league, last stage of the Champions League, playing in the last stage of the Champions League as well, I hasten to add. It's not like he doesn't get on.
Yeah.
To suddenly to Arsenal. And then if it's all the way to Newcastle, I think you pointed that he's still young, but if you're him, there might be a thing where you're like, I'm not sure if I want to go that far right now. So have you got a Jesus alternative in mind?
Well, I think the ones that have been linked with, I've seen it all sort of a level below. I know they've been linked a lot with Calvert-Lewin, Ivan Toney, and I just think they can afford to be a bit more ambitious. If you've got this money, why don't you go out? I think the Jesus thing, I take your points on that, but Everton's sort of a step down from City at this point, isn't it, for him? I know he could probably go somewhere else in Europe and play later stages of the European Cup and things, but I just think he came to City at a very young age and he was sold the dream of, listen, you come here and you win things and everything, and I'm sure he's loved it and he's been a big part of it. I think you can't sell that to him again of, listen, it's the same league, you know, this league, you know, you can score goals in it, but you can be the main man here. So I think it'd be worth a go. Obviously, there is the likes of a Calvert-Lewin or an Ivan Toney, which is obviously a level below. But yeah, I think the business that I've mentioned so far is it's too ambitious. So I think they can afford one where they go, you know what, we'll go big on him. We'll go big on a number nine, score all the goals. Like I said, there's that Brazilian thing with Joe Linton and Guimarães. So I think it'd be worth a go. I think one of my points on Jesus and the other links are forward and why I thought of him is I think you've got a problem if Sam Maximan's your best player. I think that's what's held them back in the last couple of seasons. I like him. I think he's a good player. But when they struggled, and even at points when they were doing well towards the back end of last season, he doesn't have to. I think he burns your head out if you're a manager, because when he thinks he's the best player, he's dropping deep all the time, he's doing his skills on the halfway line, he's trying to, and I think he works well in a good team because he's, you know, he's a box of tricks, he's got that madness about him, and I do think he's a really good player. But Jesus was sort of me thinking in terms of I want a noticeably better player in the attacking options, where he knows himself, no, it's not about you all the time, it's a bit for someone else, and I think that'll bring the best out of him as well.
So, do you know, the only thing about these players is it feels like some of these are quite unachievable, and one of the things Manchester City did initially was they basically bought loads of players from teams who they were trying to pull away from. So they signed the likes of Gareth Barry, James Milner, there was Craig Bellamy, there was Shay Given as well, and it's what their tactic was to basically distance these teams by taking their best players, and they couldn't do anything about it. Do you not think they'd be better sort of going and trying to go to Crystal Palace, for example, right? Who's your best player? We'll have him.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of
supposed to sort of go into
that,
like
that's sort of Gallagher, that's to be fair.
That is, yeah, but
you know what I mean. I know it's not, but you know what I mean. Yeah,
it's not because they're not going to sign him, but they did have him last season, and I think fair. The Phillips thing, I know Leeds were at bottom end, so it's not necessarily have to pull away from them.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's with some of them, I take your point on they might not necessarily be 100% achievable, and that's why I think it's an interesting summer for them, because if they're not achievable, why? Because the money's there. And I know it's not exactly... Well, because when I was thinking about it, I thought, so City get Milner, Barry, Les Scott, they get like them kind of levelling, but also in the same summer as they're buying Tevez and Adebayor. I'm not sure that could happen now, which sort of does contradict my point about the Jesus. But I don't know, I just think, you know, they might not exactly be realistic, but I think like a Calvin Phillips and a Conor Gallagher, even a Gomez, I don't see them being ridiculously unachievable. And then the Tielemans at Leicester thing, I think my point on some of these was more...
Tielemans is a pretty good example of what I mean.
Really. Yeah, I think my point on some of a Phillips or a Gallagher, even a Tielemans or Jesus, is I take your point about pulling away from the teams below, but it's more taken from the teams above in terms of a year's time. So if Jesus doesn't go to Newcastle, there's a chance he goes to Arsenal. So buying him means Arsenal will weaken, don't have to go for someone else. If Gallagher doesn't go to Newcastle, he's probably going to either stay at Chelsea or go to someone else in that bracket of a Leicester, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th team. So you sort of weakening them by preventing them from buying them. It was me thinking behind it.
Yeah, I wrote that down about make a statement by buying off who you're looking to replace in the pecking order. Now, you know, I think someone we've spoken about quite a lot already, Ward-Prowse.
Even though
it sounds right because in your head you're thinking the miles ahead of Southampton, but they're technically not.
You just need to
step over them. But taking him, a Calvert-Lewin, even though Everton finished below them, Tielemans, even a Vardy could be your nine shout. I don't know how many years he's got left. But I think Joe Gomez is a dead interesting one because I think the right club could give him a perfect opportunity. Whether someone's a bit clever with a buyback clause and go, you know what, come here, but Liverpool, you can have a 20 million more, you can buy him back, and if he does get back to the level, and a Newcastle would probably be perfect for him alongside Dan Byrne because he's just a unit.
Is there not a... So this is the flip side of what Phil's saying. So the one I think and I wonder about for Newcastle, like a real get on this, would be, for instance, going to Declan Rice and going to West Ham and saying, we'll give you 120 million. We'll do 120 for Declan Rice, and he comes in as club captain, and he comes in as Declan. You're like Gareth Barry was. You're going to win a league here, and you're going to. And if it all goes well, you're young enough. You're going to actually win two or three, and that's the one I wonder about. Still, I think Calvin Phillips has got an edge of that. Don't get me wrong, like a big edge of that, but he's a little bit older. Did that not tempt you, or do you just think it's probably just a bit too much. It's probably a bit too much for now. Because the only thing I think is that if you're Chelsea, we've talked about Chelsea on different shows, you've actually got a bit to do. If you're United, you've actually got a bit to do. Even City have got a bit to do in a really weird way. So who does the mad money for Declan Rice thing at the minute? I just sort of wonder, is there room for one of them, but not from a Champions League level club, from a club who you want to overtake this summer, but you give them 120 million for the privilege of it.
So me thinking with Rice compared, when I was thinking about him, Gallagher, of Calvin Phillips as well, was I think he can sell to Gallagher and Phillips something that they've never had before. So come on this journey with us this time next year, we're in Europe, Europa League, or push towards that. Whereas Rice has had that. So as much as you could say, is Newcastle much of a step up for Phillips and Gallagher? Like, as in Gallagher's at Chelsea now, so it's technically a step down. I think if you're Rice and you're the people around them, you're saying your next move is, and you're on that journey now at West Ham, your next move is,
you might even be better off just hanging on for a year at West Ham if anyone comes in,
because you're on that journey with them anyway. You're going to play Europe next season with them anyway. Someone will eventually come in, so I think that's all that put me off that one, and I don't really like him. So, but
there we are. There we okay. are. All right then. I'll say what I said before. Wolves are a fucking mess, and they're an interesting little bet to go down, to be honest. I've had a good long think about sacking the manager, and I've decided against it, but they end the season in a real state. So the high point for the rolling 10-game average for them, expected goals for versus expected goals against, is 1.354 versus 0.96 against, and it comes last autumn. It comes on about as the 11th, 12th game of the season. And the low point is pretty much the end of the season, quite consistently, where they fought about 0.9 XG created versus 1.63 expected goals against. That's a rolling 10-game average. That is really not very sustainable over the course of a season, and it's a bit of a mess, to be honest with you. The whole thing, I think, has been weird in that he himself is a manager who likes to play 4-4-2. That was his thing at Benfica, and he's come in and he's had a look at Wolves, and he's had to stick with a back three once he's looked at them all. And I think we need a plan this season to get away from that. The issue we have around that is, to an extent, the club captain, because he can only really operate in a back three. He's not a footballer who can operate in a back four in any meaningful way, in Connor Cody. Within that, then, there's other little issues which I'll come on to about what you're doing at centre-back. But the other big problem we've got is Neves is tipped to leave. Moutinho is 35 and out of contract. Huang and Trincao are both only on loan. Roman Saiss has left already. He said he's going. Too late. Tried to talk him around, but I'd only got the job a couple of days. Didn't want to know. Going to Olympiacos. Traore remains on the books because Barcelona are going to send him back, but supposedly the talk is that we just want rid of him. Be an interesting signing for Newcastle, actually.
Sam Maximan one side.
Yeah.
It's a bit too mad, isn't it?
It's too mad, and that's why it'd be interesting. So basically, Gibbs White's been out on loan, and he's highly tipped and highly thought of through football. Luke Kundle's got some games. But where this leads us is the centre mids for us, who've had the most game time this season, if Neves goes, and if and we don't give Moutinho a new contract, which we shouldn't do, given the fact that he's 35 now, is that our three most experienced centre mids are Dendonka, Gibbs White, and Luke Kundle. They're our centre mid options going into next season if Neves wants to move. That does not feel healthy, and it does not feel good. At the back, as discussed, we've lost Saiss. So we've got Kilman, who started the season really well and went off the boil. We've got Willy Bowley, who's never been able to get himself back fit. We've got a lad called Mosquera. I'm not quite sure how many games he's had for us over the course of this season. We've got a lad called Totti, who played towards the end of the season, who we got in, I think, from who was at Zurich, and we got him back in January. And then it's Connor Cody. So this is a really problematic spine all of a sudden, which came as a bit of a shock to me when I was looking at this. Alarm bells are going off. Up front, Jimenez was crap for most of the year until he got to Anfield, at which point he turned into Pele and escaped for victory. Neto is great, but broken and is a concern. We've got Coutron back, who we've not liked, but you never know, you're looking at Raffle. Because trust me, we're going to have to buy some fucking raffle tickets somewhere. We've got Fabio Silva, who's 19, who is highly thought of and has shown it in flashes. And we've got Podence. We've got our greatest strength and depth of fucking wing back. where we've got Johnny Castro, Eight Nori, Marcel and Semedo are all quite good, and Ruben Vinagre, who isn't very good, but he'd be number five in the list, who's coming back from loan. So we've actually got bodies who are up to a decent level. Eight Nori's one of the most exciting left backs in the country, I think. I think he looks great, and it wouldn't be surprised me if in a couple of years' time he's the latest footballer to come and solve Manchester City's left back problem. That's how good I think he is. So we've got Podence, who I like. We've got Neto, who I like, but he's broken. We've got Jimenez, who we like, but he's hugely inconsistent. We've got Dendonka, who I like. Gibbs White, who's a massive gamble, but people really rate within football. We've got Cody, who can only play in one system. We've got a bunch of wing-backs who can only play in that system. We don't want to play wing-backs anymore. And we've got Willy Boldy, who was great three seasons ago, has had a bad injury, and has never got himself back. The keeper's good. Which is important because he's going to have a lot to do looking at all of this. So we basically need to flesh out the middle of the park and the centre-halves hugely. We've been linked heavily with Sebastian Roda, who played in the final for Frankfurt, who's 28-29. Normally I'd be against that sort of thing, but fuck me, we need some lads in who know how to play footy at a high level and an intense level. So if we can cut a bit of a deal here, and I got the impression his contract's running down from the reading I was looking at, then bringing him in, if we're going to lose, we'll get a lot of money for Neves, so we've got a bit of cash to play with. And in general, Wolves aren't short of cash, so we're going to have to push that a little bit. The other one I forgot that we've got in the wing-back position as well is that we've still got Keanu Hoover. We've got João Paulinho, who we've been linked with, who looks like he might be all right. Again, he's 25. He's played some football. He's a centre midfielder. I'm just trying to accentuate the positives here. He looks really neat and tidy. He knows how to pass the ball. There's a lad who plays for Barcelona who's represented by Mendes, who we've been very strongly linked with, who's 20, called Nico Gonzalez, who's supposedly not going to be getting much time on the pitch next season. We should have a look at him for centre midfield as well, because we just need centre mids. We literally need lads who can play centre mids. It's that straightforward. We're not proud at this point. We just need centre mids. Going further forward for a brief second to come back, I think we're going to have to do all of our business as loans or as real knockdown deals or out of contract stuff. So someone like Lacazette becomes attractive to us as a free. Certainly if Jimenez might move on, which is the talk that he might just want to have a change of scene, which is perfectly reasonable given everything he's gone through. So someone like Lacazette on a free, we're not expecting him to bang them in. But I'm not messing about here. Honestly, if you ask me to KPI it, I'm saying I'm happy with 14th. Looking at this, I'm genuinely happy with 14th. That said, we do finish top half, so we use that to explain to Chelsea and Broja that we're a step up if Jimenez moves on. So we say we only want a loan, we don't want to buy, we don't even want an option to buy, but he comes and plays for us, he plays at Molineux, it's different to Southampton, it's another year on, it's more experience, it's tougher games, it's a bigger ask. Maybe we just see if we can do that anyway. We play the same gag with Man United with Alanga. So we go and say to United, this lad's going to need a year of football. You're probably not going to use him. We need lads who can do bits in wide areas, because the lads who we got in last season, like Trincao, firstly, shite. Secondly, going back. And then the other one, as you were talking, Phil, it did sort of occur to me. He'll probably go back to Holland, but if something could be done around someone like Bergwijn for us, I think he'd actually do pretty well for us, and we'd be able to promise him regular football from minute one. If we've got to do stuff in attack, the other name as well, it was interesting Andy mentioned them straight away as well, is I wouldn't be averse to a bit of Minamino action. So a bit of Minamino action would be no bad thing, I think, if we could do it. And the other one on my list there of footballers who I like a lot, who could work for now in a 3-5-2, is João Pedro at Watford. They went down. I think he's a really good, bright footballer. Liked him when he came to Anfield. They like him. They feel as though he was pretty close to their player of the year. Different to the other ones, but I think he's one we can make something out of. At the back, there's Calvin Bassey at Rangers, who I think we could have a real look at if we're going to stick with a back three to start with. And then Botman's been mentioned. There's also Coletta Carr. I think we need to basically go and buy the best centre-half at the club. And the reason why is because my KPI is this for the manager, is after the World Cup, you're playing your way. So for a variety of reasons, not least the sort of wider morale point, the idea that he is the club captain, there's a chance Cody can go to the World Cup. There's also the idea of not wanting to change it all overnight, because he's tried that. He had a look when he first came in. It wasn't happening for him, and he's got to sort something out. So he ends up trying to sort of work this out, and where he ends up is, I had to just go back to what worked. I think what we need to do is get a bit of a gap between us and the relegation places before the World Cup. It's 16 games. We've got no European football. We're not messing about. So it's absolutely hammer down, sort this out before then. And then the other side of the World Cup, I think we've got to start being closer to what we want to become next, because so many of the decisions, when I look at this, were boxed in from what's happened in the past. And we need to, and that's having so many footballers who are sort of expert at three at the back makes it so hard to break that. So the idea that a lot of these lads won't go to the World Cup, so it's almost pre-season two. And then when everyone comes back, all right, this is the way we're playing now. And I think that we can do that for certain. So that's what I'm looking at. That's not covering myself in glory. In fact, I'm covering myself in shit. But that's what I want, the idea of change it come the World Cup. Get playing a 4-4-2, a 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3. Be prepared to sacrifice some people in January. Be prepared to have some tough conversations in January around that. But everyone you bring in for now has got to be able to work in a back four as well. And that's why you need to go and get a stellar centre-half, some centre-mids who can make it happen for you, a couple of others in there as well. Except that you're selling Traore, Moutinho goes, Saiss is gone, Hwang is gone because he's back on loan, Trincao's gone, Neves brings in a lot of money, and hope against hope that Fabio Silva actually turns out to be good.
Feels a lot like Palace last summer, doesn't it? You know, where there was a lot going out and it seemed like there was a lot to do. I wonder with Wolves if... I mean, you seem concerned, Neil, as you should be. But I wonder if a couple come in and it's not as bad as it seems. Would you not... The Moutinho thing... I know he's 35, but he still looks good. Is it not worth another year?
He literally turns 36 in September.
He literally turned 35 last year and he scores the win at Old Trafford, and he still looks quite good. Just for the sake of...
Yeah, maybe. I think
I'm looking at Palace last year where they had loads out of contract and they keep a MacArthur around, and so you don't have to do another thing.
No, it's not a bad shout, and it might be that it's what you end up doing. The only thing is there's a point where that just, like in terms of diminishing returns, that
he's got to go at some point.
And it just but it also just completely collapses possibly mid-season, if you see what I mean. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, I think it's been a while, certainly when we think of ourselves as Liverpool supporters. Like, I think it happens less now anyway for a variety of reasons. But, like, there are players for whom the legs go in four games.
Yeah.
And I think that point where that's happening for players is happening later and later now because of the way they look after themselves and all of that. But I think it does happen where the legs just go in four games. So there's that on that.
Yeah. Do you not think this is possibly the hardest of every team to do? Because Wolves will probably end up this summer giving Uncle Jorge a ring and he'll come up with seven Portuguese lads you've never heard.
Palinho's a Portuguese lad and Nico Gonzalez is a Mendes represents a player.
But I even mean like more extreme than this, because like there's players who you actually forget play for Wolves the last few years when you go back, and like you'll watch a Champions League game and there'll be like Porto on and you'll be looking at a player and then you'll go, hang on, he did 2 years at Wolves. How did this happen? Like, there seems to be loads of them that just appear from nowhere and do bits. So I know what you mean about the being concerned thing, but it's almost like they exist in their own little world, Wolves, and I think they're just weird.
But I think this is also another diminishing returns thing. Like, I take you do bits point, but they tried that last year, and every bit of smart ass stuff last year, I would argue, has failed. Mm. And that's my... So not least, like, the Watford things now failed. I worry that this is...
It's been a while since they've got someone in, like a random Phil player of Jorge gets someone in and you go, actually, he's quite good. So it's like Trincao and people like that.
Neto's last. Probably the last one.
Yeah.
And Neto's just dead young and he's dead exciting. You know, he's great. I think firstly, keeping him fit a big deal. But I think... I take your point, and it's possible that happens, don't get me wrong, but I think that the flip side of that is you can end up with six or seven of these characters walking around going, what the fuck am I doing here? This doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Sounds like you've got two lots of KPIs. You've got one still the World Cup, and then your objectives change after that. So would you be so concerned? I don't think, you know, doing a Ismail Sarr from Watford them type of players, the ones who are bottom end of the Premier League or top end Championship, mightn't be the worst, just to get you through this bridge and then you build again once he brings his new formation and stuff in.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I've got McNeil and Saar both written down. You can keep falling back to them and going back to them. There's their Corney as well, who's meant to have a release clause from Burnley because he's got relegated, and I think there could be something in that as well. My only thing is that's not where we can put cash. And there'll be end up being a little bit of a bidding war, I think, for those sorts of players, or a little bit, like we've got Neto, we've got Podence, we've got Silva. I said about, you know, Alanga up on loan, Bergwijn maybe a little bit cheaper or on loan if he doesn't get a move that's satisfying. Do you know, I think we've got to put money on centre midfielders and centre backs. I think that, you know, in the most sort of straightforward sense, that's where the cash has got to come from. That's where the cash has got to go. I think it's almost a case of worry about that top end of the pitch, you know. What they need to do, Wolves, basically, is where we were halfway through the season, less so towards the very end. But basically, we only concede 43. And what I've got this manager, and what I need is to get to game 19, and he's only conceded 18. Mm. And if that's the case, then we'll be fine. But if look at this, it goes the other way. It would take a miracle for us to score the goals to save us if the defence and centre goes to bits, if you see what I mean. We've almost got to double down on where the strength is. Build that back up, and then next summer I'd be doing, right, this is, you know, if that goes well in the middle of the park and at centre half, and we maybe change the shape, it's maybe next summer then where you go, all right, this is what it looks like next. And that's maybe if he's had it. And the other thing is, if we do get 9 months of relative fitness out of Neto, we will be all right, but that's what we need more than anything else.
I think one of the things is he's been brought up, you've not brought him up, but it probably shows where you are as a club that you probably should have done. Joe Gomez has been mentioned by every. I mentioned him coming to Southampton. Yeah. I don't know if Joe Gomez leaves Liverpool, where he should go. He could probably start for Tottenham every week, whether Liverpool would sell him to Tottenham is another. He'd definitely be a starter for Southampton. He'd definitely start for Newcastle.
So this is the issue for us when I was thinking about this. I was looking at the top clubs and who you could get someone from, or do a loan deal, or a bit, you know, could. And all of these, practically at some point, someone said Conor Gallagher.
Yeah.
I don't think we can say anything like that. And part of the reason why is because we're so fucking weird in the way we play footy. That were a hard sell to be able to go to like a Liverpool and go, well, give us Kate Gordon, and they'd be well within the rights to go, but where the fuck are you going to play him? How does that work?
That's me Gibbs White worry, because I think he's really good. I've watched a lot of them, but I sort of look at them and think, I don't think he's a guaranteed success for them because of the way they play. And
this is why we need to change it.
Because he plays closer. Last season for Sheffield United, he played essentially in a two up front, just off the striker. He's not a centre mid. He's very much a 10, but closer to the forward because he scores goals. Well, yeah. So, and I just don't know where that
goes. Nor do I, but trust me, I've got no other centre mid, mate. so he's going to have to do his best. No, that's the thing, and that's one of the reasons why I think they've got to stop being genuinely, like, sort of difficult to work out Wolves. If you want to be able to do this, and that's the really ironic thing now about the sort of the idea of the Portuguese farm them, place them into this Premier League team, see what big move comes. It's become a little bit like, yeah, but we make all the ones that you get big money for shit it up football. What's our next move? They've got to find a new way of playing. The lad at Benfica, he was known as a really attacking coach. He's come here and he's fought 38 and against 43 over the course of the season. You know, and to sort of contextualise that, against 43, that's better than Arsenal, United, West Ham, Leicester, Brighton, Newcastle, Palace, like, and everyone else then below. That's how good he's got them sorted out there. But the issue with his 438 is that that's the fourth lowest. So the three sides that went down, and then Wolves.
And they might lose Jimenez.
Do you think that's very much he's come in, tried to change it, and then just gone, there's too much graft to do here, I'm going to just sit back and let it.
I've got to get results.
I just need to get results, yeah.
That's what I think. He played 4-4-2 at Benfica, literally 4-4-2, and that's why everyone said, this is a bit mad. And then, I think first game he might have gone back 4, and then went from there.
Jimenez could be a shelf for you, Paddy, as a big number nine.
Did like him.
Yeah.
Love a number nine. Does that do us?
Yeah.
That's good. Us.